Doper than dope.
What's up? It's Reverie, and you are now tuned in to Doper Than Dope, Los Angeles, all the way to Weimar. Peace.
You heard Doper Than Dope. My name is Teacher. Keep it real, hip hop.
Hey, here's Sharon, and you heard Doper Than Dope.
Big shout out to Doper Than Dope. On Radio Lotta.
Liebe Leute an den Empfangsgeräten, mein Name ist Suki und ihr hört Doper Than Dope, denn es ist der erste Dienstag im Monat.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Blackrock and you're listening to Doper Than Dope.
Yo, 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 was geht ab, Freunde? Mein Name ist DP bei Doper Than Dope, also bleibt auf dem Sender.
What's cracking, y'all? It's your girl Gavlin. You were listening to Doper Than Dope on Radio Blau.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your girl DJ Lala, straight from Cali. Shout outs to Doper Than Dope.
Dope,
cause it's doper than dope.
You will never go pop. I ain't never gonna stop. I ain't never gonna talk to a cop. Cause the block's hella hot and the homies slang rocks. Won't take a rubber and the knees get dropped. Bitch, you be the same thing. Kick it with the same game. 9-0-0-4-2 with the same name. Got homies to a light. Got homies trying to get by with 2 strikes. Don't try to fuck with me or my crew. Cause we stay on point with.
Hi, Nifty hier und ihr hört Doper Than Dope. Heute will ich euch einladen, mich auf eine kleine Zeitreise zu begleiten. Zwei großartige Musikerinnen aus LA, Kalifornien sind gerade wieder auf Tour in Europa, nämlich DJ Lala und die Rapperin Reverie. Ich bin schon lange Fan von Musik, die neben reichlich Härte auch ganz viel Platz lässt für Verletzlichkeit. Und diese Gleichzeitigkeit kommt im West Coast Underground Rap von Reverie zusammen wie bei kaum jemandem. Also ich bin schon echt lange Fan. So lange, dass ich Reverie und DJ Lala schon einmal 2015, also vor fast 10 Jahren, interviewt habe. Auszüge daraus wollen wir heute hören bei Doper Than Dope. Zusammen mit Musik von Reverie natürlich. Das gerade war der Song Always Down vom Album Russian Roulette. Und jetzt gehen wir rein ins Interview. 2015 Reverie und DJ Lala. Okay, so we're sitting here with Reverie and DJ Lala, who are in Weimar for their very first time, and they were performing last night in Mon Ami. So I wanted to ask you, how was it? How was your first time in Weimar?
Weimar was excellent. I had a great time. It was my first time here, and it was a really great vibe. The people were, it was just, I don't know, it was like a vibe I've never experienced before, but it was a great night.
Yeah. For me, it was cool too. I really enjoy Reverie's vibe everywhere I travel to, so it was real cool. I'm enjoying Germany for sure.
Yeah, also the crowd really loved it. They were so excited to see you. They were so much into you. It was awesome. So you're touring a lot. How is it when you're on tour? What are the best moments and the worst moments or things of being on tour?
The best moments are usually the shows. Yeah, for sure. The shows are almost always the highlight of the city. You know, getting to connect with my fans and tell my story to people is always an amazing thing for me. You know, no matter how many times I do it, no matter how many times I've been to the city or not been to the city, for me, performing is probably my favorite thing about making music. So performing is always really fun for me. And then also getting to see other parts of the world. And even when I'm in my country and other places in the country, it's really cool. I love traveling. Traveling is amazing. It's so educational, and it broadens my mind and my thoughts, you know, and just really helps to help me progress mentally, you know, and emotionally, and, you know, just everything, you know. I feel like the more I see of the world, the more I understand that people are all so different, but we're also so similar, and we all need the same things. And I think the more I see that is actually a real thing, the more I can be a better person and be a better me, you know. But yeah, so traveling, and then the food. Oh my God, the food everywhere. Hearing the different languages is amazing. I'm making new friends, you know, in other areas is dope. And then probably the worst things are getting sick on tour, because our bodies are so stressed out. You know, we're not sleeping, we're not eating right, we're not comfortable. You know, we're in air conditioned planes for hours, so, you know, we're all dry, and then we're drinking every night, so we're more dry, and you know, and it's crazy. You know, touring is really physically demanding, and then also like being away from your loved ones, like is hard. I'm finally getting the hang of it. You know, I've been touring so much lately that I'm finally learning to really be okay with not feeling comfortable in a mental way, you know. So now that I'm mastering that feeling, it's becoming a lot more enjoyable for me, you know. But for a while, it was really hard to be away from everyone I know and love. But now I'm just learning to just live like in the moment and just feel more free and not tied down to anything, you know? So I think living in the moment is really important when you're touring too. Yeah.
I really enjoy touring. This is my second tour with Reverie. I've toured with other artists as well, but touring with Reverie is really dope because I think we've like experienced a lot in like a little bit of time, you know, and it's just like, whoa, you know, it's a different experience, but I love it, you know. And then, like she said, I enjoy going to all the different places and learning, you know, learning all the cultures and the languages and you know, pretty much. Yeah, I feel like how you feel, like it really does open your mind and you're not. I feel like when you're a lot of people that are born in out there, there's some prejudice going on because of the history, you know, and things like that. So, you know, like out there when you have a kid, it's like, okay, the boy, if you're going to have a boy, it's usually the color blue, you know, or the girl's usually the color pink. And I feel like it shouldn't really be that way, you know. So I feel like the more traveling I do, the more open I am to my mind being freely, like, you know, like learning from everybody out here. And yeah, I love the music. My favorite part is probably digging. Like, I don't really get to do it as much when I tour, but when I do, it's like an amazing feeling. And every time I play that record, it'll like, oh, I got this in, you know, like, yeah. Czech Republic or like whatever, you know. So it's tight. Yeah, it's dope.
How do you feel about the hip-hop scene in California?
In my personal experience about my generation only, that's the only people I could speak for, because I know every generation has their own experience. But in my generation of Los Angeles hip hop, I think that our generation is so unified, and everyone who's at least part of the scene I've been a part of for years, I mean, we're all kind of breaking out of that scene for a little bit, because some of us are just reaching new levels of our fans bases pretty much. But for the people that I started with, everyone has always been so supportive and really just respectful and helpful. And I guess supportive would be the main word, you know. And now as all of us are like finally breaking out of that scene and becoming our own separate entity on a large scale, we're still all really cool and get along with each other, you know. I was telling you, I go out with Gavlin and O'Blimey all the time. My boyfriend, Self-Provoked, is also part of our scene. We've been together for 5 years. So, you know, like, everyone has just been growing and growing together. So it's really beautiful. Like, I mean, that's at least my perspective. Because, you know, I talk to some other people and they're like, people don't show love. I'm like, I don't know. I've always been shown love. But also, I've always given love. You know, that's important, too. People forget that you have to reciprocate what you want to get. You know, you have to give if you want to receive, you know. So, and I guess I didn't even always expect love from people, but I just like to help other people, you know. So I've always made sure to make that a part of my name and what I'm doing with my movement, I guess, you know. Yeah.
I think the same, I feel. It's so crazy because you pretty much say everything that I was thinking. I don't really know what else to say, but yeah, pretty much the way Reverie broke that all down, for sure.
I enjoy it so much. I think it's so refreshing. I like to watch the Cypher Effect videos, and I think it is so cool also to see you like all together, like O'Blimey, Gavlin, Will the Wonder, Drum Free, you. It's like so cool to see all of you like doing it together and supporting each other so much. That's so cool. So I'm wondering, which role did it play to have this support with your crew to also be or become a successful artist, or the artist you are today?
I think it definitely does help that all of us lean on each other and support each other and just really try to reach each other. I mean, try to like bring each other up at the same time, you know. But I also feel like it also is a lot of individual work as well. Like, we all work as individuals, and a lot of the times, especially now that we're like the people who have really like been really successful basically in our scene or whatever, it's like we share each other's music, but we all also have our individual fan base, and each individual fan base is not always going to be such a fan as I am of other artists' music, you know. So, and it's going to be the same with them too. Like, their fans are not going to like me just because I like, because they like me, you know. So it helps, it definitely helps to help each other out like that. But I also feel like it takes a lot of individual work. All of us have worked really hard individually as well, and I think it shows, you know, like who has been working hard and who hasn't, and either way, it's all love, you know. But it definitely does help. It definitely does help, yeah. But I definitely think that you can't rely on others to make your career go anywhere either, though, you know. Like, people forget that. People are like, oh, let's do a song so I could blow up. I'm like, man, if it was that easy, I would have tried to do a song with somebody that was blown up already, you know. So, like, it's not just about that, I guess, is my point, yeah.
I feel like... with me, it's been real cool with all the girls. To be honest, I've DJed for every one of them that you mentioned. So for me, it's just, you know, I'm just chilling with my records, you know what I mean? Enjoying like art, enjoying hip hop. But the girls have definitely worked their asses off. And it's really nice to see their individual fans, like how she was saying, as well as like them appreciate. It's not like I'm only a Reverie fan. Like some fans are really like, yeah, Reverie, like, that's my top bitch, you know. But I also like this girl too. Like, but I'm down for her though, you know. But like, it's like cool, you know. It's tight. And for me, it's really nice that they've all showed me love, you know. And I've had really good experiences with each one of them. And
But right now, I live in the present too, you know? So, at least I try to. So right now, I'm having a really great time on Reverie's tour. And it's just chill, you know? Like, it's pretty easygoing. Like, it's just good vibes. And I really appreciate all of it. Yeah, it's tight.
Make way for the queen. You can find me in your dreams. I'll be sitting on cloud nine looking fine. You can see I'm floating in the clouds. Stay promoting for my crowd. Infamies, they on the beats. Feel it bumping through the rowdy. Yes, cause I'm blessed. They residing in my stress. Till I'm rolling, stay patrolling California. Nothing less. Intellect so intelligent. My riddles never delicate. Discussing my reality. That's how I'm staying relevant. To hell with it. I'm done with it. Infinity is the sum of it. You try to pick up the mic. I guarantee you'll have no fun with it. Cause once you listen to Reverie, you'll reach the realization. The prophecy I project is so perfected. I'm portraying the problems of the people. Me and you, you and I. Solve the struggle. Steady stimulating minds to survive. So fuck the pessimism. I promise I'ma thrive. Use the story of my life to get the people through the night. The delegate, spit these fucking bars of fire, food for thought, come grab a plate. I'd rather stay the Jeep that I've been from the beginning. The money and people and fans I make has only got me grinning, head spinning. But that's always been my daily routine. Going inside and out of my mind, that's why they call me Daydream. I may seem a little bit cocky, I am, so don't try to stop me. There's no way you can top me, and a hustle too hard to knock. Straight bangers out of the boom box, bump it because my tune rocks. Fuck where you coming from, I'm doing it for my cruise props.
A big part of your fan base seem to enjoy the more boom-bap sound of your music. Does that influence how you create your art?
A lot of my fan base is very selective and prejudiced against any other kind of hip-hop than boom-bap hip-hop, you know? And they have, like, a lot of my fan base is, like, I guess maybe not a lot, but a large portion of my fan base is, like, made of like hip-hop Nazis. Okay, that's what I call them. I call them hip-hop Nazis because they only want hip-hop to sound and look like this. And if it sounds a little bit like this, it's not hip-hop. You know, like if it doesn't have a 90s boom bap style golden era and that's how it has to sound, you know, they don't like it. And at first I was like, oh, I mean, that's cool. Like, I mean, yeah, I guess that's what I only used to rap over beats like that, you know. But now that I'm really becoming my own artist and having my own sound, I'm not sounding like that anymore, you know? And a lot of people don't like that. And that's okay, you know? At first I used to be like, oh, well, why can't you guys like all kinds of hip-hop? But then I'm like, you know what? It's okay. They're not open to hearing anything else that's going to sound different. And that's okay. You know, I'm not going to try to reach those people. That's okay. They could bump my first two mixtapes. If that's all you like, then that's cool. You know, I still appreciate that love. But, you know, I'm trying to do my own thing and sound the way I want to sound, you know. And I used to care more about those people that were going to say I was selling out or sounding different or whatever. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm an artist and I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm not going to let some YouTube comments telling me I need to sound a certain way make me do otherwise. You know, I'm not scared to be myself and tell my story. So I'm not scared to sound how I want to sound either. You know, the older I get and the more music I'm making, the more I realize what I do want to sound like. And I finally, like, I feel like this next album that I'm going to come out with is going to sound exactly how I want it to sound. And I'm going to be more involved on the production than I've ever been, pretty much. And so I'm really excited. But I also feel like most of my fan base is really open-minded. And I have rapped over so many kinds of beats and done so many kinds of songs that I feel like they're open to it, you know, like they're not going to be surprised if I do like a drum and bass song or like something, or like even a rave song, you know, like I'm guess I'm really open about who I am and what I listen to. So my fans aren't really surprised when I, with anything I come out with, I guess I don't know. I just do what I want.
Yeah. Well, when I listened to, when I first met, well, not met, but when I was first listening to her music, to Reverie's music, I was curious, like with one track, and then I would hear the next track, and then it was like, okay, like her, even in her voice was a little bit different, you know. Some songs are very like, I can totally, like Fine is like one that you can really, her energy is really like transfers through the track, which is really cool because you're just sitting there and you can feel it, right? So who would have known that you can hear something and then feel it at the same time? Like, it's just crazy to me. But for me, like, as a DJ, I feel like it's really important to be open-minded. I don't ever like to just spin one type of genre. And I've always been very opinionated about that because I feel like it's important. I feel like that with art. I like dark stuff, and as well as I like romantic stuff, as well as like funky, like I do that with the way I dress, I do that with the way I think, like I really live by that, to not go one lane, you know. So the artists that I've DJed for are very very same too. Like, I don't put myself in just like, oh, I just want to spin for artists that are like underground hip-hop. Like, I've spent for us are like rap, West Coast rappers, or like maybe like singers, or maybe like a punk band, or like things like that. Like, I like to be open-minded, so it's really tight. Yeah,
I feel like if you box yourself in and you only, if you only let people see you one way, they're not going to be as like receptive when you be another way, like when you show another side of you, you know. They're going to think, instead of them thinking that you're just showing another side of your art and who you are, they're going to automatically assume that you're trying to be something else, you know. And luckily, I decided to basically start like that, like being who I wanted to be and stuff. So now people are open to it, you know. Like, I feel bad sometimes when I see artists who have been doing a certain thing forever, and then I see they come out with something completely different, and everyone's like, oh, they're fake, oh, they're selling out. And I'm like, I don't know, I think they wanted to always do that, and then they just took too long to do it, and now everyone hates them. Like, it sucks, because most of those people who are gonna say those things don't make art, and they don't realize that people are constantly progressing in their art as well as everything else in their life, you know. And I wish that people would be, like you said, perfect words is open-minded, you know. Like, I wish people would be more open-minded, because the more open your mind is, like, the more you can enjoy the world and understand the world, you know, because you're just limiting your perspective of everything when you are not open-minded, you know. And you could, like you said, you could go, it could be about how you dress or the music you listen to or the food you eat. Like, the more you box yourself in, the less you're going to enjoy an experience in life, you know.
I think that's also what really, at least for me, it really stands out about your music, because sometimes you have artists who have like this one style mainly, which is also okay. I'm not judging, but like with you, it's like, you know, when sometimes, I don't know, you're sad and then you listen to this one artist, but you can't listen to that person when you're happy or anything. And with you, you have like a song for each emotion that I can feel. So it's so cool. I can basically listen to you all the time, no matter how I feel.
Repaired one day, but right now I just can't afford it. song, then don't buy it. And what about the lack of knowledge amongst the inner city children? Will someone say you're predestined to play the villain? Cause chilling with the big homies is appealing when you ain't got enough guidance. And your older siblings already got their riding, getting violent and vowed it. Never break the code, homie, stay silent. So I light it up. My soul's divided up into split personalities. And only one can accept this is how it had to be. And that's me. And today I'm in control. I don't pray, but I have high hopes. And I know that life is what you make it. Off to win the race for days. I found the problem was that I was looking for sun in all the wrong places. Taste this, it's happiness. Best food for the soul. Whether you're young or old, sterling, silver, or gold. See, what most people don't understand is that a spirit cannot be sold. You are vital to the universe. I just thought that you should know. Your significance is no less than the stars and the sun. And an end to this life welcomes a start to another one. Your journey has just begun. Today is a new day to learn to love who I've become.
Ihr hört Doper den Dope diesen Monat mit einem Throwback. Ich habe 2015 ein Interview mit den Hip-Hop-Artists Reverie und DJ Lala aus L.A. geführt. Auszüge daraus gibt's heute und auch Musik aus der Zeit. Gerade eben lief der Song While I'm Still Here und davor kam Call Me Daydream. Und nun geht es weiter mit dem Interview Reverie und DJ Lala.
I enjoy, well, most of your songs, but I really like the ones like Call Me Daydream, while I'm Still Here, like all those songs where you're stagnant, like those songs where you talk about your life and it's so honest. I really appreciate it so much. And you also, you make it really, you show how you've grown from like where you started and where you're now and the struggles you had. So it's like really deep, really honest. And I think that's like so awesome because you have, I guess you have, by now you have a lot of rap artists who are not that honest anymore, who are like pretending to be, I don't know, gangster or whatever, but then they're not. So, why did you choose to be or to have those texts that that are so honest, which also make you vulnerable in a way, because, you know, you basically just open your heart. So you show all your struggles. Why did you decide to do that?
You know, it wasn't really like a set decision that I made for myself. Honestly, like when I started making rap music, I was like 17 or 18 and I recorded the song because I wanted to do it. And it was just for me. I've always written poems since I was a little girl. And then when I was like in the junior high, they turned into raps when I discovered underground hip hop. And then I didn't record my first song until I was a senior in high school. But when I recorded it, I didn't show anybody. It was just for me. And then my friends were like, hey, when are you going to show us what you recorded? And I was like, I'm not going to show you guys. Like, it's for me. That's embarrassing. And they were like, what? You're not going to show us? You better show us. Fuck that. You know, and then I showed them and they were like, Jordan, this is really good. And I'm like, oh, it's not that good. It's like, all right, you know. And then they're like, no, this is really good. I'm going to show my cousin, you know. And then her cousin showed her friends. And then their friends showed their friends. And then now I'm in fucking Germany, you know, 6 years later. It's fucking crazy, you know. Like, I never thought my music was ever going to do anything for me other than let me release something that I couldn't release without it. You know, like my music has always been therapeutic for me. Like even since the first songs that I ever made, like if you listen to the songs that I made when I was like 17, I'm talking about the same shit. I'm talking about my family problems. I'm talking about struggling with drug addiction. I'm talking about my friends in jail. I'm talking about losing people. I'm talking about being fucked over by my ex-boyfriends. You know, like, my music has always been the same. It's always been a form of therapy. It's always been a form of therapy to me. I'm not really a good... Over the years, I've become a better communicator, but even still, I struggle with communicating my emotions to people, especially the people that I love. That's the hardest for me, to be honest with. I guess because that's who I'm most vulnerable around, you know, so it makes sense. But I guess that's just how I guess. And it's just the same. My music is the same. I still talk about those subjects. And, you know, I know I've gotten even deeper into my music because as you grow older, your problems become more complicated, you know, it just kind of goes that way. And my music, I just treat it the same. I treat it like it's what it is. It's my outlet. That's how I get rid of my stress and get rid of my anger and face my issues. You know, a lot of times I feel like once I record a song about something, once I feel a certain way and I can't get rid of the feeling, once I write it out and I'm saying it out loud and I see it written on a paper, to me it becomes like a fact. Like, I can't deny it anymore. Like, this is the issue. Am I going to get over it or not? You know, like, actually physically seeing me admitting it is the first step of it. And then when I record it, I'm also now saying the truth in front of someone, whoever's recording me. So now it's really a fact. And then once I put it out, it's like, oh shit, like, everyone's going to hear it. You know what? Fuck it. This happened. And now I can accept it and move on, you know. And that's always how my music's been since I was 17 years old, since I first recorded. It's just been therapy and just a way to say, you know what? This happened and it's okay. I'm going to keep going. I'll be okay. I made 100 songs like this before, so another one won't hurt, you know, like, I guess it wasn't really like I didn't make a decision for my music to be like that. That's just how my music is. Like, and I guess it did probably stem from the people that I grew up listening to, you know, like I grew up listening to MERS and Atmosphere and The Living Legends and Idea and, you know, like, and they all talked about like really personal issues that I thought I was alone in the world experiencing until I heard them. You know, I'll never forget when I heard underground hip hop for the first time. I was like, oh my God, like, this is so much better than the stuff on the radio. Like, how come this is not on the radio? And then I realized that the masses don't want to talk about things like this, you know, and it's easier to market stupid, simple shit to most people because that's what most people are attracted to, you know. But you know, as I got deeper into music, I just really appreciated that and I felt like I wasn't alone. And I feel like that's why a lot of people like my music, because that's what they tell me. They're like, when I hear your music, it makes me realize I'm not alone in the world. And I'm like, you know what? Every time somebody tells me that, it does the same thing for me. You know, like, I'm like, yeah, like, that's one more person that understands me. Like, that's one more person that maybe I'm not crazy, you know? Maybe we're all fucking crazy, you know? I don't know which one it is. But I think... That's why. I'm just being myself, you know. Luckily, people like what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm really lucky. You know, I never knew that it was going to be like this ever in my life. When I first started recording my music, would I ever think anyone was going to even like it, let alone to be touring now? It's fucking crazy. It's amazing. It's really dope. And everyone out there could do it, whoever's listening. If I could do it, you could do it.
I think... Yeah, what she said. No, but honestly, I feel the same, you know? When I started, when I bought turntables, I really just bought them to have them as a stereo, you know? Or instead of a stereo.
That's cool.
But, and I was like, yeah, fuck it. If I don't learn, that's what it's going to be. Shit, like, fuck a stereo. Like, I'm going to have turntables, you know? But, yeah, I actually really loved it. And I think that's what stems from that, like, just being honest with, it's like a relationship, you know, like, the more honest and like the more loving you are, the better the relationship is going to be, you know, and you don't really have to fake anything or, you know, you just be yourself and like, and be willing to let people see this emotion from you, you know, because it would be an honest one and people are more receptive to that. Some people that want to escape the everyday life of, you know, commercial and this and that, like, they find something. I feel like it's like a treasure, you know, and you're like, man, for so long, I know this, but it's like, what is this? You know, like, it's like a, you finally found this one love that you really enjoy, you know? So I that's how I feel, you know? Like, it's really tight. You know?
Just so much about life that we ain't gon' ever understand. But me, give up on life, I'll be damned. I travel through the lands and I sacrifice my stability, my relationship, my family, the gravity that holds me down when I'm feeling suicidal. But underground hip-hop is like my fucking Bible. They tell me I'm an idol, enjoy my recitals, but you won't ever feel the pressure from doing what I do. Sitting writing lyrics, thinking nothing's good enough. I try to write something inspirational, but homie, growing up, that's all I think about when I'm bumping instrumentals. My house is made of glass, but it's hard to stay gentle. My mental stability is limited, they feeling me. The crowd screams for an encore, but this depression's killing me. My ability to speak my mind, it's a gift and a curse, and it's mine, oh mine. So when I'm on the road, I hope that you be thinking about me. I hope that you can't even eat and you're sick without me. Cause that's how I feel when I'm not with you. There's such little time and so much to do. So when I'm on the road, I hope that you be thinking about me. I hope that you can't even eat and you're sick without me. Cause that's how I feel when I'm not with you. There's such little time and so much to do. Sleep the pressure from progression will surely teach you some lessons. I got questions about this profession. Should my happiness be second? And my career first? What should be the order? I just don't know anymore. Shit's so distorted. I love my fans and I love the connections. It's a blessing knowing I'm helping people, cause that was not my intention. I was just venting, I was just 17, trying to lace the fucking track up, wake out in the IE. I would always be crying, writing lyrics every day, by my brothers up in juvie and the shit I used to slang. And how my daddy moved away and my mama beating me, and how I just don't wanna fucking live life, so I stay banging on these streets and tagging my graffiti. See, 5 years ago ain't nobody wanna be me, and now you bitches see me, and now you bitches love me, and now I want me to stay. Call me fuck being hungry. So when I'm on the road, I hope that you be thinking about me. I hope that you can't even eat and get sick without me. Cause that's how I feel when I'm not with you. There's such little time and so much to do. So when I'm on the road, I hope that you be thinking about me. I hope that you can't even eat and get sick without me. Cause that's how I feel when I'm not with you. There's such little time and so much to do. So when I'm on the road, I hope that you be thinking about me. I hope that you can't even eat and get sick without me. Cause that's how I feel when I'm not with you. There's such little time and so much to do. So when I'm on the road, I hope that you be thinking about me. I hope that you can't even eat and get sick without me. Cause that's how I feel when I'm not with you. There's such little time and so much to do.
Are there songs you don't want to play anymore?
I mean, shit, every song. Yeah, man, shit, like, yeah, every song. I am really honest with my music, and so it is hard for me to perform. I just made a tweet about this the other day. Actually, I was like, every time I perform, like, not every time, but you know how life is. Sometimes you're in a good mood and sometimes you're not, you know? And on the days where I'm not in a good mood, if it's over some emotional shit, like, I'm trying not to cry when I'm singing my songs, you know? And sometimes I do cry when I'm singing, like, and I'll just, like, keep my eyes closed until the tears dry, like, I'm like, and nobody's just gonna know I'm crying, like, you know? Or, like, a couple times, like, I've, like, broken down on stage and started crying, like, I think it's only happened twice. Oh, you know what? It's happened three times. And one of the times is because one of my friends passed away. One of my friends died, like, the day before. And it was just, like, really emotional for me to do anything. And so when I was performing a song, I was thinking about my friend. And I just started crying, like, in the middle of this my show. Like, and I was just like... And it was, like, one of the smallest shows I've ever had. It was probably, like, like 10 guests, and then there was like 10 of us there for the tour. So it was like 20 people there, and I just started crying and crying, and I had to leave. I said, I'm sorry, I have to go. And I put down the mic and I went to the bathroom and I just cried. So it's hard for me sometimes. And then the other time I was just fighting with one of my loved ones, and I just was thinking about them while I was performing, and I just started crying. I was like, I started crying, and I was so pissed, because it's embarrassing, you know? It's embarrassing to cry. I don't like crying in front of people. So it was embarrassing. And then the worst time when it happened, oh my God, is because I was performing at the Cypher Effect show actually last year. And my song On the Road, have you guys heard of my song On the Road, right? So in the end, I say something like, or I don't know what part of the song it is, but I say, how my daddy moved away and my mama beating me, and how I just don't even want to live life. Something like that. Something like that. It just reminded me of like when I was small and my dad left me and my mom and my brothers, and my mom used to beat the shit out of us, you know, and I forgave both of them for that. I'm not mad about that anymore. Like I've made peace with that, and it feels great to have that peace. But they were both there at that show, and my parents were never got along when we were young. Like after the divorce, it was a horrible divorce, and my whole life I grew up with them talking shit about each other. It was a really confusing relationship, you know. Very recently have they become friends, and it's really cool, you know. But they only became friends after going through years of talking shit about each other, and me and my brothers getting in all kinds of trouble, and they finally realized, oh shit, we need to be cool because our kids are having a lot of fucking problems, and we're not going to solve them unless we're cool, you know? And so, you know, life's funny. That's just how they started getting along. But they get along now, but when they barely started getting along, it was when I was already like 19 years old or something like that. So my mom, and when that happened, my mom moved to Seattle, to Washington. My mom doesn't live in California, so I hardly ever see my mom anymore. But she flew to Los Angeles that weekend because it was her birthday weekend, and then she was going to go to our show. And my mom has never seen me do like a, you know what, she saw me do one big show before, but not like this. This was like a big show, and she hasn't seen me perform for years. And like since the last show she's seen me perform was probably in front of 40 people. And then this show, the Cypher Effect, I think there was like 2,000 people there or something like that. Like it was a shitload of people. Anyway, so my mom was there visiting California, which already I'm emotional because my mom's there, and you know, my mom gets to see me do this crazy shit, you know. And then my dad was there too, you know, and my dad goes to a lot of my shows because he lives in California. But it was just crazy to see them both together there, you know. And they're obviously in divorce. My dad is remarried and stuff. I love my stepmom. But just to see them together like that, like just like as friends, like just two people getting along, looking at their kids doing this crazy music shit, you know. Like I was doing that song and then I look back and I saw my mom and my dad there. And then I saw like 2,000 people in front of me like singing my song, and I was just like just tripping out at this moment in my life. It was one of the craziest moments in my life, and I just got emotional because I'm thinking about what I'm saying about my mom and my dad and how I wanted to fucking die, you know, just like when I was young all the time. I didn't want to be here, and to see where I was now at that moment, I just like broke and I started like crying in the middle of the verse. And then at the end of the verse, I started like crying on the mic. I was like, I put the mic down and I turned around and I was like wiping my tears, and then the crowd was just fucking going crazy. They were like, "Wow!" And like the more I heard them crying, they heard them chanting, so I was crying more, like, "Oh my God!" Like it was like a movie. Like, and the louder I cried, the louder they screamed. Like, and they were screaming for like fucking like a minute. Like it was fucking nuts. And then it was just crazy. So it was a really cool moment, you know. Like it was cool that. It was embarrassing that I started crying, but like my fans just saving the day like that made me even just like, oh my God, like just felt so good about it. That was probably one of my favorite moments ever in my career, actually. Shout out to everybody that was at that fucking show. It was so dope. It was so dope. And it was so dumb. Like some people were like, did you cry on purpose? I'm like, are you fucking stupid? Like, no, I didn't cry on purpose. Like, what? People be asking dumb questions like that. Like, I mean, but I guess a lot of artists do like gimmicky shit during their sets and shit, but my shit is real. Like, I'm not trying to, I don't need to, like, you know, yeah, I don't need a fake cry. Like, come on, like, But it's definitely emotional performing my songs. Like, it's always emotional. Even when I'm in a good mood, sometimes it's like, because a lot of my songs are sad, you know, and sometimes I go back to that moment where I wrote the song, or I start thinking about the person who the song is about, or who the song relates to now, you know, like, so. But it's cool, yeah.
If Drake started from the bottom, then I started from the top. Why these industry fucks trying to be everything they're not? Be happy with what you got, cause most don't got a lot. All they possess is the dream to someday take your spot. Watch, tables turning, bridges get burned. The deeper I get into this game, the more truths I learn. The more I'm concerned, the more I fucking hate it. As my fame grows, my love for hip-hop gets tainted. Waiting for the positive change in the game. But after these underground lyricists hit the radio, they start sounding the same like the lames they used to criticize. But personally, I'd rather keep my dignity. I refuse to dumb it down, I refuse to exploit my body. Honestly, I'm not doing it for the money, cause I'm broke as fuck and my EBT balance low. How I ain't got no money with all this talent and flow. They say hip-hop is dead, I'm starting to believe it. Get it straight, dog. We were never one and the same. If you ain't from my crew, didn't grow up in my hood, wasn't riding with me back in the day when times wasn't good. Don't ask me for a free shirt, a CD, a poster, cause I'm going home to my grandma's house after this shit is over. I'm an independent artist, starving, trying to make a bargain. Ain't got a steady income, so I can't afford my own apartment. Embarking on this journey, wondering where it's gonna take me. Having a lot of doubts about it, thinking of alternative routes lately. It's crazy meeting people I used to idolize and realizing they're an everyday person like you and I. Why shouldn't I sell out? Simply cause I love it. Man, I ain't making no money, but money ain't making no man, fuck it. Why shouldn't I sell out? Simply cause I love it. Man, I ain't making no money, but money ain't making no man, fuck it. They say hip-hop is dead.
One more question. What was the moment when you realized you're big, you're popular, you have a big fan base? What was that moment when you realized that?
Well, it's kind of been like a progressively happening moment. It's not really like, it's been like also like a really confusing thing to accept. You know, because being known and like having like fame and stuff is always different for everyone. You know, everyone, it comes to everyone differently, and it takes time for like the time that it happens to people is different. And mine has been a progressive one, but it also has been a quick progress. And it's hard for me because I don't like being the center of attention. You know, and I have become to be a center of attention, so it's hard for me in that sense. And with that being said, I think that's also why I don't really know when it was specifically that I felt like I was famous or whatever you want to call it, because I also have denied that for so long that it is happening to me because it makes me uncomfortable. I finally, like, barely within like the last 6 months or so, I am becoming more comfortable with it. Up until like a few months ago, it gave me a lot of anxiety and a lot of, I didn't like it at all, and it was hard for me, but I have finally accepted that this is my life and this is how it's going to be, and I need to just move forward. You know, like, I can't be scared of it. I have to take all the consequences that it comes along with and just keep pushing. But I guess like over the years, like I guess like the little steps have been like one small thing is like getting recognized on out on the streets. Like I remember like I don't remember the first time I ever got recognized, but I remember it would happen like every like 6 months or something, you know. And I would tell my dad, I would talk to my dad like, guess what, somebody recognized me today on the street. Like, and it was crazy. Like, oh my God, it's so crazy. And now like at home in LA, I get recognized almost every single day. Like if I leave my house and I go anywhere other than to someone else's house, like I'm going to get recognized like every day. So that now I don't call my dad anymore, because now I'm like, oh yeah, somebody recognized me. And they're like, oh, you know, that person recognized you. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, you know, like now it's like regular, you know, like, but I guess that was definitely like a thing, like getting recognized, like, oh shit, like people recognize me on the street, like I better look good when I leave the house. You know, like, you know, or like I guess like another big thing is like the statistics online, you know, like a lot of, like, for example, I think this year has been probably the biggest year for me in my career. I feel like I've hit like so many like big milestones and shit this year in my career, like, and so then like also like seeing those milestones is like a, you know, I have like, it helps me accept what's happening, you know. Like I hit 100,000 on my Facebook, 100,000 likes on my Facebook this year. So that was like big. That was like, now I'm like, I can't like deny that shit. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, I need to just like give it my all, you know. If this many people are listening, like I need to step it up. Or like playing like my first festivals in Europe, you know, like that was fucking crazy. Like I've never done shit like that before, so that was another big, like, damn, like big moment. And like and also Merz is following me on Twitter. But Merz, that's been the homie for a minute, you know. But also Atmosphere, that fool followed me. I mean, they followed me on Twitter this year. I was like, oh my God, I was like so so happy. So that was like a big thing for me, you know. So like, I don't know, just like little big things like that, you know, just like, I guess over the years have said that to me, I guess. I don't know how to say it. It's confusing. That stuff's confusing, like fame and shit. Yeah, it's not like a, because I wasn't like ever like a person that wanted to be the center of attention, and I never was like, oh my God, I want to be famous, and you know, like, and just kind of like happened. So I think a lot of it, me not knowing when it happened, that I guess I would call myself famous, is the fact that I was denying it to myself for so long, you know? Like, cause I don't really know when it happened, because I didn't want it, you know? Like, but now it's here, so I can be okay with it.
We like that real shit.
We like that real hip hop shit.
Can I fall asleep for just one night without waking up screaming? I swear to God, I wake up every night wondering if I'm still dreaming. And I tell people about these night terrors, but they don't think they understand, cause they don't wake up swinging, throwing blows and fists bleeding. Oh, these hands, they've been through it all, rolling blunts, breaking lines, fist fights, climbing billboards, and thinking time I'll become a normal citizen. But as I'm now, I'm giving in to temptation and any product that could be considered a synonym. I'm evil and a cheesel, then you fall in love and you find out that I lied and that I didn't give a fuck. All I want the funds and wings and drugs. I swear to God, if I could fly, I wouldn't need these slugs. God, take me, please. I wanna be up in the clouds, cause I love being high, but the part I can't stand is when I'm coming down. So God, take me, please. I wanna be up in the clouds, cause I love being high, but the part I can't stand is when I'm coming down. So the rain is another day for self-destruction. Need to say more. If I'm positive with my lyrics, then the people say it's not raw. They love when I'm depressed. Guess that's when I'm at my best. What can I say? I guess it is what it is. Guess my anger and resentment will lead me to happiness. What a bitch. All my whole fucking life has been lived. Look at the negative side. Pessimistic since I was a kid. Don't exist in the mist. What a piss when I miss the poison kiss that could have led me to bliss. Trying to be higher than the clouds, bluer than the sky. With the help of these drugs, one day I'm gonna fly. So my eyes stay buggy and my eyes stay spunky. Homie, don't trip on me, cause you know I make money. They say, Rev, you're an example. Watch what you're doing. I know you think I'm perfect, but I'm only human. They say, Rev, you're an example. Watch what you're doing.
you doing? I know you think I'm famous, but I'm only human. They still rap here an example. Watch what you're doing. I know you think I'm perfect, but I'm only human. God take me, please. I wanna be up in the clouds. Cause I love being high, but the part I can't stand is when I'm coming down. So God take me, please. I wanna be up in the clouds. Cause I love being high, but the part I can't stand is when I'm coming.
Und das war's schon wieder für diesen Monat mit Doper den Dope. Mein Name ist Nifty MC. Ich bedanke mich fürs Einschalten. Falls ihr Interesse an dem ungekürzten Interview mit Reverie und DJ Lala habt, hört gern mal rein bei Doper den Dope, der Hip-Hop-Podcast bei Spotify und überall, wo es Podcasts gibt. Ansonsten geht's hier natürlich nächsten Monat weiter. Da läuft dann die 90. Ausgabe von Doper den Dope. Das nehme ich zum Anlass, mich mit den besten Rap-Releases der 90er zu beschäftigen. Das wollt ihr nicht verpassen. Zum Abschluss hören wir noch Musik von Reverie. Vorhin liefen die Tracks On the Road, Stagnant und It Is What It Is. Und verabschieden will ich mich heute mit dem Song Let It Be. Bis zum nächsten Mal bei Doper Than Dope. Ciao.
I used to think I was stuck, sick, sipping on the sympathy. Fish from other people, misled by mind's misery. Again, you'll see in life it's really hard to learn a lesson. Because we deny it, we supply everything I mentioned. Parties and the pubs and the pillars and the slugs. Peace, perfection, positivity. Promise me, please stick with me. Cause I don't know where I'm going to, but I know I'm on the detour. Cause there's way too many bumps and hazards than there was before. And I'm trying to get back to the path that promised happiness. Right rhyming rhythm, rolling fat beat hits. And that gets just enough to be considered nothing. Don't complain about the nonsense, it will make it something. Bigger bougie bitching, bullshit and backstabbing. And it will make you wanna have it like a bad habit. Sad that it's come to this. How could we let us turn into opposites? Remember, you would call me to pick me up. We love popping shit. Learn from your mistakes. Let go of your regret. People change and people hate. Don't let it get you upset. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So chase your dreams and let it be and live the rest of it right. I said, learn from your mistakes. Let go of your regret. People change and people hate. Don't let it get you upset. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So chase your dreams and let it be and live the rest of it right. Graduation day was nothing like I ever thought it would have been. Not only was I pregnant, but my brother should have fucking been in all the pictures, but they were in jail. My boyfriend left me hanging and I didn't even do my nails. So I grew a resentment for all five people. A hate in my heart harvested by the fact that they weren't there when I needed them to be there the most. Because I needed them close and all they needed was dope. And that's the worst thing that I ever had to accept in life. My brothers love the streets, my boo's in love with me. But it's like it was just another day that I would dwell and focus on for years. I'm flowing out the song, my face is covered with tears. And I'm sharing with you the story, not so you could feel sorry for me. But I'm proud to say today those feelings have decayed in my mind a little. I stepped out of line to dribble, saw it from another perspective and it helped me accept it. You can hate somebody forever, love is too strong to lose. Feel sorry for yourself, nobody's gonna walk your shoes. But you're gonna wake up jealous, sick and listen for the chance. And grab it when you see it, take and make it, that's the plan. Learn from your mistakes, let go of your regret. People change and people hate, don't let it get you upset. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So chase your dreams and let it be and live the rest of it right. I said learn from your mistakes, let go of your regret. People change and people hate, don't let it get you upset. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So chase your dreams and let it be and live the rest of it right. Now some shit is gonna stick with you forever, forever. So you gotta grow with it, cause you're gonna grow old with it. Sometimes starts to seem like most of the time. And those are the parts of your life when you gotta keep up your mind. Don't be scared to love because you're scared of being hurt. The ones you pass up are always the ones that would've worked. I'm looking forward to the days when I'm done being crazy.